We're still in 1 John, making our way through chapter 4. There's only 5 chapters, so we will get through it by the end of the summer.
Yes, we're in chapter 4. We're going to pick it up in verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. We'll go from 7 to 12 today. Huge. 7 to 12. Yes. We're really making progress. Here we go. Everybody find it? All right. Dear friends, some of your Bibles might say beloved, and that's really what it means, beloved. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, beloved, since God's loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought to a full expression in us. Hallelujah. Let's pray. We love you, Lord. And we ask that the reality of your love would just settle on us like the morning dew. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to lead us and guide us into all truth. Give us ears to hear today. Give us willing hearts to obey. Unite this church family together in love, with you in love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen. So as we've been studying this book, 1 John, 5 chapters, I really believe that this book offers us just some great insight into understanding what our relationship with God is meant to be like and look like on the outside. And a key theme for this book is the word fellowship. John talks at the very beginning chapters about the fellowship that we can have with the Father and with Jesus. And he talks about it in this sense of we should enjoy this fellowship. Yeah. And it's really, what Chris was exhorting there during worship about how much God loves us and that we are meant to receive that love and enjoy that fellowship. This is so important for us because this book also talks about sharing the love of God. And it's sometimes hard to share what you haven't really received. And so we have to understand that when God is talking about fellowship with him, it's not just like, hey, like we have fellowship. Oh, hi, how are you? How you doing? See you later kind of fellowship. It's something that has to do with knowing your heart. And so there's more intimacy in this word fellowship. We use the word koinonia. That's really the word in the Greek that this word is. And it's something that every believer is meant to experience. And it's something that God the Father really wants us to seek him for.
Yes.
Real, true, loving fellowship with him. And, you know, sometimes we resist this because we still think about ourselves in the natural. But this book also tells us that our sins have been washed away.
Hallelujah.
And that because our sin has been washed away, that door has been opened for us through Christ, that we can have close fellowship with the Father God and Jesus, his Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The world doesn't understand this kind of relationship, and they actually don't have access to this privilege. So we have to look at it like, I have a privilege here that God the Father really wants me to know him in a loving way, because John even writes in these endearing terms.
Yeah.
Have you noticed? He'll say, like, this word, beloved. Or the word, he'll say, little children. This is John writing inspired by the Holy Spirit. These aren't just John's words put down. John's just thinking this. He's inspired by the Holy Spirit to write from the heart of God. So it's like the Father saying to you, little child, hear what I'm saying. It's beautiful.
Yes.
It's meant to be a sweet fellowship. And it's an amazing thing that we can have this fellowship as we walk through this darkened world. And we really need this fellowship.
Come on.
Because there's just so much other chaos in the world around us. We need to know the love of the Father.
Yes.
And that he calls us my little child, my beloved one. Mm. Because the world is in such a darkened place. But I thank God, like this book tells us, God is light. And we don't have to walk in the dark.
Come on.
In fact, we're called to be a shining light in the darkness. Like God wants to use our life to shine hope into other people's lives. And when it says here, God is light, in him is no darkness. So when we walk with God, see, this is what John keeps talking about, this fellowship that we have with him. When we walk in the light, meaning we walk in the light of God's word.
Right.
Because this is how we know God. We cannot know God accurately outside of this Bible.
Amen.
You can have a lot of ideas about him, but, you know, let's face it, when you open it up, and any of us who've been reading the Bible, it's like, whoa, I had that wrong. And we have to get our mind renewed to who he made us to be. And so it becomes a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. That's glorious.
Yes.
In the day and time that we live in. And, you know, several times I think in the gospel how Jesus, when he would teach at the end, he'd say, he who has ears, let him hear. What did he mean by that? He's like, hey, you know, listen up, like pay attention. And let what I'm saying influence your mind and your heart. Like, let it influence you to action.
Yes.
Because that's another thing that this book is about. Like, he says, little children, don't love just merely in theory, like some concept, oh, I love God, but it doesn't really translate into any action. It's supposed to have action to it. Pastor
yes.
Steve's been saying this lately in our Bibles, in our prayer meetings. Like, Christianity is a verb. The word Christian is a verb. Like, we're not just supposed to say, I'm a Christian, but we're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Be a Christian and all that that means. And it's a glorious way to live. It's powerful.
Yes.
Because every day then we have opportunity as we're walking with the Holy Spirit. I mean, God, he uses everyday life as his classroom. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. And if we have ears to hear, he'll begin to show us day to day in our life when we're making choices and priorities or our attitudes. It's like what Chris was saying there. Like, sometimes we think, like, I got to get rid of this attitude that I always have. He'll help us with this. It's a powerful way to live.
Amen.
As we go to him and even then have to confess our sin, but he cleanses us from sin and all unrighteousness. And then our lives just slowly as we obey, we
Hallelujah.
Become transformed.
Yes.
This is the journey. The expectation of God by his grace is that our lives would be transformed. We should be able to look back a year, you know, on our life and go, am I changing?
Yes.
Is my life getting any more transformed? It should be a challenge to us and actually a glorious truth that we can become new creations.
Yes, hallelujah. You know, another really key theme of this book is really, it's about love.
Yeah.
In these five chapters, love or loved, or if you have King James, loveth, is written 51 times in here. 51 times.
That's a lot.
And the apostle John has been known as the apostle of love because he wrote about it more than any other writer in the New Testament. But this is amazing that we need to understand because John and his brother James, what were they nicknamed? Sons of Thunder.
And why were they nicknamed that?
Why? Because there was a village that was offensive to Jesus. They didn't want him to stay there. And so the boys go to Jesus and said, you want us to call fire down and destroy them? Jesus says, oh man, you don't know what spirit you're of. He says, I came to save life, not destroy it. But what's great, because you see the radical change in this man, now he's called the apostle of love. And so he learned it, just like what Pastor Mamie was saying. It's daily, it's little by little. Do you know that that's a precept of God? Little by little, line upon line, you're building it. Finally, what happens is the love of God actually comes and completely captures his heart. And that's what we want, amen?
Yes.
God is love, it says. God is love. In John, you could say, love, 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 love. And then you could hear his people that are sitting out there say, okay, John, we get it. Love God, love your neighbor. Love God, love one another.
Say something,
we get it. Can't you say anything else? And what does he do? Instead of abandoning that, he goes deeper into it.
Yeah.
He goes deeper into it. The understanding and the meaning of the word love that is used throughout his epistle, we have to understand. We have to understand what it is. Because in the it's the Greek word agape. Now, in the Greek word, there's four meanings, four different words to the word that is translated love. And John, remember, inspired by the Holy Ghost, these aren't John's words. This is the Holy Spirit. He's talking about this love that lays down their life for one another. He's talking about, I'm going to sacrifice for your benefit. This is the kind of love. This is the agape love. This is the God kind of love. Now, this is on the PowerPoint, and here's the Greek words that John could have used, but didn't. Phileo. Now, that's a brotherly friendship love. But our English translators translated it love. Eros. Now, that's a sexual or a romantic love. Now, we have one word, love. And then we come back, storge. Now that's family love, okay? We love my brother. Sometimes you just want to clobber him. I storge you, Tom. And then there's agape. And this is the word that is chosen by the Holy Spirit. It's a sacrificial, unconditional, it's a perfect love. It's a committed love. This is the word he uses throughout his epistle,
yeah. And
agape.
You could so easily miss that, being American, reading it just with our understanding of the word love. You know, so John writes a letter, he uses that specific word. In the Greek, you would have read agape, and they would have known to a certain measure what he's talking about. You know, but in our language, like if I wrote a letter, it might sound this way, like you could, dear friend, it was so good to be with you. You know, I loved our time together. And the flowers in your garden, they were so beautiful. I love them. And that new little puppy that you got, so cute. Love that little puppy. Oh, and the dinner that you made, it was fantastic. I loved it. Okay, see you later. Don't have any time for more. I love you. Bye. Love, I loved flowers. I loved puppies. I loved the dinner, and I loved the person. Generic love.
Yeah.
And it's so easy for us to read when we read, love God and love one another. You know, if we interpret loving God and the command to love one another the way I love pizza or my car or my puppy or, you know, my flowers, we run into some trouble.
Yeah.
Because when you begin to look into what is, like the 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in the New Testament is called the love chapter.
Yes.
So I would encourage you to read that love chapter and see what those words are like. Because it says love is, and it describes things, you know, like love is patient and love is kind and it's enduring and it weathers all things and it thinks the best of every person. And, you know, it's long suffering and
not
it never
offended.
Ends.
Not offended.
Not offended easily. And then it was like, oh, yeah, I need some help.
She lives with me.
We all do.
Yeah.
Because we could just go, well, I love people. Of course, I don't hate people. I love people. But when we understand agape love, this is a laying down your life for another person. It may not feel warm and fuzzy.
That's good.
A warm, fuzzy love that I feel towards my dog or, you know, just these nice, beautiful flowers, they make me feel good. Well, walking in sacrificial love sometimes doesn't necessarily feel good. But as we learn to do it, it does. There is a reward on the inside. You feel good about helping somebody. But initially, you know, your flesh could be like, ugh. And because the love, like this, it says in Corinthians, it never ends. And see, this is where God's love is. It's committed to us. We are the ones who draw away. God's love, like Mary wrote a song, he never takes his love away.
Yeah.
You know, And so love, though, as we know it here in America, is ever-changing. You can be loved one day, we know this in social media, and then like shredded and canceled the next day, like you're the worst person on the planet. Why? Well, just depending on what you said and what you did and how you made me feel. And so our love is fickle. Like the kind of love that we, you know, we entertain in our heart can be fickle. It's like people could make a marriage vow. And in the vow, like to death do us part. But then we've seen over the years, and you know, in the past whatever amount of years, these contingency plans, we have these prenuptial agreements, right? Especially when you own a lot of stuff. And if this love fades, well, you're not getting my stuff, you know? So it's like, you know, it's like, well, I love you, honey, to the end, but just in case. It's like, that's really reassuring, isn't it? To feel like, I feel your commitment. Yeah. So we have to really study and read, like read 1 Corinthians 13 and think about what God means by agape love. And this is the kind of love that we really need to be allowing to flow through us.
And that is so true.
Yeah, it's a sacrificial
love. We have to really understand this agape love, because this is the God kind of love. And it sacrifices for the benefit of the other person. And we have to really work at opening our heart to understand this. We really do. We have to really make a thing of saying, I desire, Lord, to understand this love. Yes. I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, you're going to lead me into all truth. Help me understand this love. Because, you know, it's going to be hard. Yeah. It's going to be hard. And it's like, sometimes we're going to think, man, I wish I had this kind of love. Where do I find it, Lord? Well, if you turn to Romans chapter 5, I've got good news for you. Romans chapter 5. This is on PowerPoint. Do you know when you start operating in this kind of love, your flesh is going to scream. Oh, yeah. It's going to be very upset because you're here to crucify the flesh. You're here to actually start to live in the Spirit. You're to live in the light that Pastor maybe or the gospel or the letter of John is talking about. We're to live in this fellowship with God Himself. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. I suggest you read 1 through 5 in your time, because this is just a tremendous group of scriptures. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. For God's love has been abundantly poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. So you have this love. You're not trying to get it. This is good news. You have this love. You already possess it. It was a gift given to you when you were born of God. When you were born of His Spirit, He put, and like it says, and your Bible might say, He shed abroad the love of God in your heart. Mm-hmm. You have this kind of love. We have the capacity to do this. It's a gift. Do you know the world can't love like this? Mm-hmm. It cannot. It can imitate and copy. But the world cannot love like this, because it comes from God. That's why John says, if you don't love, you don't know God. He's talking about agape love, this kind of love. It's a matter of you and I making a decision. I'm going to yield to this love. I'm going to yield to this love. I'm going to let this love that never fails, I'm going to follow the Spirit of God into this love. I'm going to react in love. But I have to yield to it. You have to make this decision. Do you know the first reaction that all of us have? Isn't this kind of love?
Not until, I think, over the years you can be trained by it.
Come on, that's right.
It gets a little easier.
Yeah.
Anybody, you know, if you've walked with God for a lot of years, like you learn, you just start to learn. It's like, if I let my flesh do this, it's just, it's So you yield.
We want this to dominate our life.
Yeah. You know, what does the word yield? We say yield because you do have the flesh on the inside to deal with. We're never going to get rid of these fleshly urges which want to go against God until we leave this earth and go to be with him and get an immortal body and are completely renewed.
Yes.
But until then, we will have to deal with our flesh along the way. And so we have to know that we have a new nature from God on the inside of us. It's born of love, and I have to make a choice to yield to it. Like, I think, you see the yield signs on a highway? Uh-huh. You know, what are you supposed to do when you see a yield sign?
Slow down.
Or what should we know to do? Because it seems like people forgot what a stop sign means. It's like, wait, did you remember that this red thing means stop? But I'm supposed to pause and maybe even stop to let the oncoming traffic, I yield to them. Like, they're coming on the highway, I'm supposed to stop and yield to them. And if I'm going to yield to the love of God in me, then I have to pause and learn to think about this, like yield to the love of God, let it have its right of way in me. Because the Lord won't do this for us. It's a choice that we make. By even just, you know, reviewing our actions, our motives, and then asking God to help us, I want to yield to the love of God in me. Because have you ever been impatient getting onto a highway?
Oh, yeah.
And you just try to squeeze your way in? You know, I own this highway, just let me in.
I
expect everybody to just make room for you because you're coming on the highway, right? And what happens, like, when we do that, when we don't yield even then? You get horns, you get tempers, you get a lot of things flying, fingers flying, you know? Yielding is better. It's true. It's like people get mad, and it's like I think to myself, we yield to the love of God on the inside of us. You're going to have we will have a better life.
Yeah, amen. Yeah. Amen.
You'll smile more, and the people around you, they'll be happy to be around you more. We create a whole different atmosphere.
Come on, isn't that true?
When we walk in the love of God, we're more fun to be around.
Yeah.
When we're yielding to the love of God.
And you know what? That takes practice.
Because we're preferring the other person. We're trying to, you know, well, I'll prefer you. And then if the other person is trying to prefer them, just think how good that is.
That's the atmosphere of heaven right in your home, folks.
Nobody's just trying to get their way. So
right.
We need to be yielding, learning to yield to the love of God. And it takes practice and it takes a lot of grace from God.
Yeah, and that's why you catch yourself that, ooh, that wasn't walking in love. That's when we, you know, to really stop and train your flesh, because you have to train your flesh. You have to make it obey. You have to say, Lord, I'm sorry I didn't walk in love. And that attitude, Mame, that was terrible. I'm sorry that I blew up like that.
He's good at that. He's such a good man.
You know what it is? Practice. And it being brought to the forefront in my thinking so that I'm aware of it. Do you know many people aren't even aware of how nasty they are? It's true. But what we have to do is judge ourselves. The Bible's asking us. We need to practice, and then we need to call upon God. I need your help here, Lord. I'm just like on the highway, we're going to yield. I'm going to stop. That attitude stinks, and I'm yielding to the love of God. And then, guess what? When you do that, you don't have to keep saying, I'm sorry.
That's right. That's so true.
You know, God will not do this for you.
Exactly.
He'll help you. Yes, he'll help you.
Yeah.
So let's make a declaration to God. Just tell him right now. I choose to yield.
Yeah. I choose to yield.
I choose to yield to your love, Lord.
Yeah, I choose to yield to your love, Lord.
Yeah! You're going to be so changed when you walk out of here today.
Everybody's going to be hugging each other.
Can I go get your car?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Does it need washed? When we yield to the love of God that's been shed abroad, remember that, Romans 5:5? It's, you already have this love. We're not trying to get it. We have it.
Yes.
So when we are yielding to this love, Well, guess what we're doing? It's just like what John was saying in 1 John. He says, we're walking in the light. Mm-hmm. We're walking in the light. See, we want to think that it's like goofy spiritual. Do you understand? Listen, supernatural stuff is really natural. We think that we're going to somehow, it's going to be like, whoa, it's like I'm walking in a cloud. It's like, no, I'm going to yield my heart and I'm going to walk in love here. Yeah. Yeah. That's supernatural, folks.
Yeah.
So let's don't overlook the supernatural looking for the spectacular.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. It's really true. When we do yield to the love of God in us, your flesh is going to rear its ugly head. You know, you start yielding to this love and you'll find out how loud your flesh can be. You know, because you're going to experience suffering. And it's going to say, I demand my rights. Where'd that come from? This is so inconvenient. It's not fair. Okay, I'm kind of getting the idea here. You know what? When you stop and yield to the love of God, your flesh is going to get mad. And guess what the Bible says? We're to crucify our flesh. Crucify it. Everybody find out that that's not fun. It's not fun. But yet, we want this love of God to dominate our lives. Right? And your flesh is going to feel agony.
Well, the word crucifixion sort of should tell us. Yeah.
Yeah, the word of crucifixion. Because your flesh is going to get angry. You're going to demand your own way. But we're going to stop and yield. We choose to yield to the love of God that is right here within me. I have it. I can do this. You can do this. Why? Because the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. Yeah. The Philip says, abundantly. Abundantly in your heart. It's not a little thing, little drip. I only got one draw. No. You have oceans of this. And it's never ending because remember, Pastor Mamie says, read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love never fails. Love never ends. You have oceans of this love. This makes it easier in your own mind, doesn't it? But we got to stop and yield. And when things get kind of crooked in your life and seems dark and nothing seems to be working out, and it's, you know what you need to do? Check your love walk. Check your love walk. And you know what I mean by that, because life is hard. Life is full of trouble. It doesn't mean that everything that's going wrong in your life is because you're not walking in love. But we need to ask the Holy Spirit, pull the veil off my eyes, and I'm asking you to judge me, Lord. If there's any wicked way in me, lead me in the way of everlasting.
Yeah, because light and love go together. Like if we're walking in the light with God, that means the scripture says we have fellowship with him.
Yeah.
And so that these things go together. Light and love go together. Like you said, so when things start to seem dark and hard and whatever, crooked, it is a good time to go, well, I must be not, maybe it's my love walk that's actually creating this problem in my life. And so John, you know, in this letter, he keeps like circling back to this word love. Like you notice it in every single chapter. If it's 51 times, then we're going to hear this word, love God, love one another. Mm-hmm. And so but basically what he keeps saying is my declaration for my love for God should and must really, if I'm really a Christian, it manifests itself in this genuine love for people.
Yes.
Which is not just a warm, fuzzy love. It's a love that is willing to sacrifice. in order to better somebody else, to care about somebody else. So this is part of like forgetting about ourselves,
mm-hmm.
and doing good, putting into practice people, especially the church, because he says, you know, for the people, the faith, for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And,
Galatians.
And it's like, this is a great opportunity for me to plug helping at the rummage sale. Because.
That was good.
Thank you, Lord, for helping us to put that in. But it is. It's an opportunity. Like the church stands up and says, we need help to do what we're doing. We're doing this to help the church, to help, you know, people in the community, really. And it does raise a little bit of money. We could use some help. Now, every one of us could sit there and go, what are you going to do with that? There's an opportunity. And it's, yeah, it might sacrifice some of your time.
Yeah.
But that's part of the denying myself to help somebody else. And so I would really encourage you, after church, see Susan over here, or Cindy, or Amanda, or sign up back there. I think especially Saturday, you said they need...
No, Thursday.
Thursday and Friday are the days. So
well, if you can, come Saturday, we won't turn you away.
Oh, no,
We need men on Saturday?
I'll just say, I'm busy Saturday.
All right. So we need men on Saturday. Is that towards the end of the rummage sale, around 2 o'clock for trucks, so that we could set anything in them that we didn't sell and take them? Is that okay? So there you go. He who has ears to hear, let him hear.
That's good.
But to understand, you know, agape love, we do have to study. We cannot just hear this once and think we get it.
Come on.
We have to study and meditate on what it means. And to help us do that, we have to look at Jesus and God the Father and what they did.
Yes.
Because in sending Jesus, his son, as a sacrifice for our sin, love was the motivation. I mean, we were all dead in our sin. He could have looked at us and said, you sorry bunch. You did it to yourself. Go figure it out. But he didn't. In love, he wanted us.
Yeah.
And his love wanted us enough that it would require action. Again, you know, he couldn't just shout from heaven, I love you, but I hope you all find a way to get here. Which would be impossible.
Right.
We couldn't. And so he had to take action. He took action. And it went to the extreme of sacrificing his son, his one and only son, to save us. Look at verse 9. We read this at the beginning, but verse 9 of the passage that we're going over today. It says, God showed how much he loved us.
Yeah, he showed it.
By sending his one and only son into the world. Why? So that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sin.
Glory to
God. And so God's the author of this amazing kind of love. It didn't start with you. We didn't come up with it. It didn't start with me. It says that this is real love, not that we loved him, but he started it. He loved us even when we were dead in our sin. And that's amazing. I mean, this kind of love that would sacrifice, you think about your own family. Some of you have a son or daughter. Would you sacrifice your son or daughter in order to save people? That's a sacrificing love. That's a committed love.
Yeah.
And, you know, we saw this movie recently. It's been out, The Sound of Freedom.
You need to go see it, really. You need to go see it because it's going to open your eyes to $150 billion industry about child sex slavery. Kids, I'm telling you,
it's
kids.
A story, yeah. About
this guy worked for the CIA. Then he was anti-terrorism unit. Then he went to Homeland Security, and then he was asked to come and do a division of internet crimes against children. And it's interesting, there's an interview with Jordan Peterson about this, and they actually chose him, and the reason they chose him is because you have faith. You have faith in God, and the people that are going to go through this are crumbling. And so they believe that through his strength of his faith, he'd be able to take this and really work it
Well, he could because in doing this, you had to view.
Yeah.
You had to view the evidence, and it was horrific. And it's interesting, yeah, that they said that they knew that it seemed as though people of faith could somehow balance out looking at this and not really. Well, he said, I experienced post-traumatic stress from it,
yeah.
Actually. But he said, the only thing that helps me go through this is that knowing that there's a final judgment. Because if you live your life just going, oh, this is horrible, and you think everybody's going to get away with this at some point, even though it looks like they may be getting away with it now, in
right.
the end,
right.
no one will get away with their sin.
It's there, an eternal
there will
judgment.
Be an eternal judgment awaits people who never repent. And those are the things that hold a mind even steady to go, I can deal with this in order
yes.
to rescue people.
And the story itself is about, he just, it's an opportunity to look at how an experiential agape love is played out. He put himself in some horrible situations that could have ended his life instantly. But yet he did it because he had this, he saw these two kids. And really the story is about rescuing these two kids. And he gets the first one. And then he has to go through all this, these people to get set up to get the second one. And that second one is in the jungle way off, and he has
Columbia.
No help, nothing.
It's Columbia, yeah.
It's amazing. But what he does is but here's the key. It doesn't come close to what Jesus Christ did for you and I. It's a great story, and you need to see it. We have to be understanding this. The United States of America is the number one producer of child pornography. It's a giant export from this country. Number two,
producer and
they are the consumer. United States is the biggest consumer of child pornography and in the slave trade. In the slave trade, United States, number one. Yeah.
So the church's eyes really need to be opened. And I do believe God will call people in the church to continually move forward. We need the younger generation of people to see if you want a cause to live for, to stand for, you know, getting people. This is the greatest amount of slavery that the world has ever known. It goes past what the Civil War was fought for.
And Rome during Christ's time, you know, most of those people in that population during that day, at least 85% were slaves of the population. But you know, like I said here before, it doesn't compare to what Jesus Christ did for us. Because these two kids were innocent victims.
Yes.
Innocent victims. And so he went after to rescue them. Jesus Christ died for the wicked. Think about it. It's on the outline here.
The perpetrators even.
Yeah, those people that you want to kill, Jesus Christ went to the cross for them. Yeah. His blood is so powerful, he can cleanse the most vile of people.
Yeah.
Go to Romans chapter 5. We were there earlier. This Savior of ours is far beyond even our concept. The blood is so powerful that he can cleanse the most vile sinner. It's amazing. And this should really stir our hearts in love with him for what he did for you and I personally. You created a miracle in me. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says this, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us, what? While we were still sinners. while we were still sinners. God is so good.
I mean, look at the movie actually portrayed, if you were right there in 5:7.
Yeah, 5:7.
It says, now
really
most
good.
People, you know, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who's especially good.
Yeah.
And this is really, in a sense, what is happening in this movie. These kids are innocent.
Totally.
And these people put their lives on the line, willing to die. That's what he said. He goes, well, if I die, I die.
Right.
To do something. And that's noble and good. But to defeat, you know, the power of sin and the grave and hell, it took the blood of Jesus. Took more than one man being willing to die for a good person. Like you said, the most vile sinner.
Yes.
It took the blood of Christ to do that.
He said, Jesus said, it's finished, when he was on the cross.
Yeah.
That his blood sacrifice opened up the way for sinners to be reconciled to God.
Yeah.
To have this fellowship that we long for.
Yeah. I mean, the whole story of the Bible is really one, we've heard this, some of you before, it's like one, it is one big love story.
Mm-hmm.
And at first you might go, wait a minute, he points out our sin. You know, yeah, it does, it points out our sin.
True.
And it points out our evil. And it gives us standards for living, and it'll make us feel uncomfortable when we read it. But behind it all is a love story. Not of like us, like God pointing out our error and us trying to reach up to find God. But it's a story
Correct.
Of God reaching down and coming to us. When we begin to see how lost we were without him, we begin to value the fact that he's like, I want you so much, and I want you to know me, and I want you to have fellowship with me, and I want you to know me by, like Paul writes, Abba. Father, that's a tender word. This is why John writes beloved or little children.
Yeah.
We need to open our heart to our real identity.
Yes.
Who God says we are, what he's done for us through Christ. And so he reaches down for us. Like he to redeem us from our sin, he had to come down into the pit of sin with us.
Yep.
He was sinless. He didn't do anything to deserve this. I mean, this is agape love. It's like, what? You want me to what? He could have said to the Father, what? This is too much to ask. But he didn't deserve it, but he took the mm-hmm. suffering. He was dying in our place. He took our suffering and punishment. He was bearing our sin and shame
yes.
on the cross. He suffered for us. This is agape love. This is the love God's talking about. And, you know, our world is filled with pain. And what we have to remember is that we don't worship a God who's immune from it. Like, I don't get it. He gets
right.
our pain. He understands. Because of the cross, he's acquainted with our grief. He's acquainted with your suffering. He's acquainted because he was taking the penalty for it upon himself for the world. You know, here's a quote from someone named John Stott, a really well-known English theologian. Maybe some of you have heard of him, but it's from his book, The Cross of Christ. And he died at 89 years old. And you know,
89 years old, yeah.
Back here about 10 years ago. So he said, this is a quote from the book, I've entered many Buddhist temples in different Asian countries and stood respectfully before the statue of the Buddha, his legs crossed, arms folded, eyes closed, the ghost of a smile playing around his mouth, a remote look on his face, detached from the agonies of the world. But each time after a while, I had to turn away. And in my imagination, I've turned instead to that lonely, twisted, tortured figure on the cross. Nails through hands and feet, back lacerated, limbs wrenched, brow bleeding from thorn pricks, mouth dry, and intolerably thirsty, plunged in God-forsaken darkness. And that's the God for me. He laid aside his immunity to pain.
Yeah.
He entered our world of flesh and blood, tears and death. He suffered for us, and our sufferings become more manageable in the light of his. And so Jesus wasn't sent by the Father just to merely experience our Christianity.
Right.
He came to die in our place and bring us back. in fellowship with the Father. Hallelujah. This is what our walk, this is what our life is about. This is our privilege.
Yes. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. It reads this. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. This is agape love.
We used to be enemies, yeah.
We were enemies of the cross. We were enemies of Jesus Christ. And the power of his blood now made us friends and family. We are genuinely welcomed into the fellowship of the Holy Trinity. I mean, you have to think about that. We're welcomed into the very throne room of God. We're welcomed in that tight-knit Trinity. We're welcomed there. We're actually encouraged to join him in this.
Yeah.
He wants this fellowship with you.
Yeah.
He wants this fellowship with me. It'll blow your mind. You know, I want to congratulate everybody who was water baptized.
Yeah.
You are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That fellowship. It was such a great night. It was such a great night. The Spirit of Christ was just hovering with us.
And you remember
moving back and forth.
Yeah, what Pastor Ben was saying when he baptized, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, baptized to go under the water,
uh-huh.
And then he said, and raised to newness of life. And this is what it's about.
It is.
We are raised to live a new life.
Verse 11 says, dear friends, again, my beloved, since God loved us that much, listen to this, we surely ought to love one another. Do you know what that Greek word ought means? It means I owe. It's not a suggestion. It's like, oh, I ought to love you. The Greek says, I owe you to love you.
It's like a debt.
It is a debt. In Romans chapter 13, it says, owe no man anything except to love them. We have a debt to love one another. We have a debt. It's a debt. It's a moral, and in the spirit, it's a legal obligation for us as Christians. Why can we do that? Because the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart.
Yeah.
We are capable.
Yeah.
Verse 12 says, no one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us.
Yeah.
That means we're maturing. It doesn't mean we're perfect. It means when we are sharing the love of God, we're maturing and becoming really the family of God.
Yeah, it's like a circuit, you know, of God's love becomes complete. It starts with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he takes us to the cross and then the resurrection, the newness of life. But it's not meant to be just like this dead end thing. Like now I'm a reservoir. I'm holding the love of God. It's meant to be given.
Yes.
It's meant to flow through us in a fellowship together. This is back to that word koinonia.
Yeah.
Which really means an intimate knowing and a loving one another. That's the love that comes into us. And that's the love we're supposed to be giving to one another. Like in a church, in a group, in a gathering of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that people have gifts, they have talents, they have, you know, things we could do to serve and help one another, help the church. This is a wonderful opportunity. It's like what Chris was saying in the exhortation, even to worship. It's like to learn to worship. Like, here we are. This is our opportunity. This is how we learn to express the love of God together.
Yep.
And break out of just this shell of, and I think often what keeps it from us doing this is because we feel unworthy. But we have to keep training our mind to cast down that imagination. Because if God calls us little children and he's cleansed us by his blood, And he says, you know, come to me in fellowship with me, to talk with me. He longs for that, and he wants our heart to express it back to him.
Hallelujah.
And so, you know, it's like this circuit. We don't want to be just this reservoir. It's like, you know, we were saying like an electrical circuit.
Yeah, we want the button to be on, amen? Yeah. We want the switch to be on. We want that circuit to be complete.
Yeah, to go through the...
We don't want it turned off. Because you go back to 1 Corinthians 13. Love never fails. And this has been shed abroad in your heart. You know, it comes from the Father who has endless supply of love. And he's going to manifest that love through you and I.
Yeah.
If you're here tonight today and you don't know Jesus, let me tell you how much he loves you. You've heard some things, and I know the Spirit of God has been dealing with people's hearts. There's no one like God. There's no one can love you like God. And this love of God, this agape love, it'll shock you. It'll shock you. If that blood and that agape love can change a pedophile, this love will shock you. It will cause an inner healing. It will satisfy our need for acceptance. It will straighten out our broken soul. This is the love of God, and he loves you right here, right now. He loves you, and you can't straighten up be accepted, because Jesus accepts you, the Father accepts you through Jesus, and then the work begins. If you're here today and you haven't given your life to Jesus, and you want to give your life to Jesus, I ask you, raise your hand real simple right now, and then, you know, we're going to call on him and ask him to save us. Let's bow our heads. And for you online, let's pray this prayer. Father, go ahead, everybody. Father, we want to experience your love. In a greater way.
In a greater way.
We want to acknowledge that that love has been shed abroad in our heart. And we want to share it.
We want to share it.
Jesus, I'm asking you,
cleanse me from all my sin.
I accept you.
I want you.
I need you. Fill me to overflowing. I'm excited to share this love, this agape love. I'm asking, give me opportunity to share this love. Teach me daily to walk in this love. I want fellowship with you, and I want to walk in the light. In Jesus' name. Amen.